Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 11th day of July, Anno Domini 2020. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And
just before you get into the news and all that stuff, sure. I want to warn folks, because I know we say it, but I think it goes in one ear and out the other.
Sure.
You know, in the past few weeks, because it's been warm and everything else, folks have been calling the show late. They call, you know, like 10 to 2.
Yeah.
If you're going to, you know, if you got a question of that, call early, folks. We can't stress it enough. It always disappoints me when I got to tell folks, sorry, we can't get to your call because you waited until 10 to 2 and called. Last week we had like three folks I had to tell, sorry, we can't get you on. And I, you know, we don't like not taking questions.
Right.
So, like Nick says, call early, call often.
That's exactly right. The Chicago's method of, Chicago method of calling.
There you go.
Yeah, but we're going to be bringing you news and stuff. So let's get that started.
Stuff.
Oh, except that blocks the camera. Sorry. I forgot my tripod.
Right. Is that fitting all right now? Can you see me okay?
I
haven't started my stream yet. There we go. I'll do that. Oh, yeah, and now you'll be able to see me.
The reflection on the painting is better than the reflection off your forehead. let me rephrase that. It's reflecting more off the painting than it is off your forehead.
No. When the hole...
I'm hearing that back into...
Yeah, that's me. When the hole is higher than your head, stop digging.
Yeah.
You should talk. While Dave composes himself, we'll do the next 2 hours without him. Germany's Fraunhofer Institute for Communication, or FKIE...
I'm fine.
Has carried out a study involving 127 home routers from 7 brands to check for the presence of known security vulnerabilities in the latest firmware. The results are appalling. The FKIE study found that 46 routers hadn't got a single security update within the past year and that many routers are affected by hundreds of known vulnerabilities. It also found that vendors are shipping firmware updates without fixing known vulnerabilities, meaning that even if a consumer installs the latest firmware for a vendor, the router would still be vulnerable. FKIE assesses that Asus and Netgear do a better job on some aspects of securing routers than D-Link, Linksys, TP-Link, and Zycel, but it argues the industry needs to do more to secure home routers. FKIE found that AVM, a German router manufacturer, was the only vendor that didn't publish private cryptographic keys in the router firmware. Nice. The Netgear R6800 router contained 13 private keys. In the worst cases of devices, FKIE assessed, the routers hadn't been updated for more than 5 years. About 90% of the routers in the study used the Linux operating system. However, manufacturers weren't updating the OS with fixes made available from Linux kernel maintainers. Numerous routers have passwords that are either well-known or simple to crack, or else they have hard-coded credentials that users cannot change. The study targeted 5 key signals and firmware images to assess each manufacturer's approach to cybersecurity. These included the days since the last firmware update was released, how old are the OS versions running these routers, the use of exploit mitigation techniques, whether private cryptographic key material isn't private, and the presence of hard-coded login credentials. FKIE concludes that router makers are significantly lagging in the delivery of security updates compared with operating system makers. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is how often do you update your router? Your choices are about once a month, about once a year, about once. Routers have updates? Routers? And other. We have 24 votes so far, and routers have updates is in the lead, followed closely by about once a month. Of course, we know you'll have more to say about this, hopefully, particularly if you selected other. So head on over to our forums at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff are the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 11 July 20. How often do you update your router? And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, our new text line number, 585-205-8887.
A lot of the newer routers will auto-update, but you have to agree to that when you set it up and use their software. There's kind of an interesting contradiction in the law is that a lot of people think, well, the router company should just be able to update it when they find a patch. But once you buy something, they're not allowed to touch it again. Otherwise, right. It's breaking into your network. So that's why most of the setup services now for routers will offer to let you create an account, and then they can push updates to you. So if you didn't know that routers get updated, go update your router immediately.
Right. But every router has an admin section, administrator section. And in there somewhere is an update button probably.
Yep.
And so you press that button and get an update. Do it today.
The problem is a lot of home users will just buy the cheapest thing.
Right.
And then most of the time, those really cheap routers never get updated. The companies just make a router, throw whatever firmware is on it, and that's the end. They abandon it. There even have been problems with the cable routers that your cable company provides you. And theoretically, they're supposed to be updating them at their end, but we see that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why you want to put your own router behind their router.
Yeah.
So somebody may get into their stuff, but not into your stuff.
Yeah.
And especially if you haven't changed the password on the router, which a lot of folks don't bother to do.
Right.
They use the default.
That's one of the biggest vulnerabilities. Although it helps me as a tech. I was at a company this week trying to log into their router. No one knew what the password was. I tried admin. It worked. And I said, all right, let's change the password now.
You think?
It's so important. And again, it's a password that you can put into your password manager. You are using a password manager, right? And once you've got it in there, you don't have to remember it anymore, mm-hmm. which also means you can make it really, really long and complex.
Yeah. The disconcerting thing is they tested 127 routers from 7 different brands. None of them were invulnerable. They all had vulnerabilities.
Right. And you can harden them pretty much, but you have to do it yourself. We've been saying for the longest time that people have to be their own sysadmins now.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I always push. Matter of fact, I just did an article for the Ham Club there about password managers. And for Tickles and Grins, I put in there to the folks, you know, go and see. And I encourage folks even that listen to our show, go and to that site that we've got listed for seeing how strong your password is. And you're going to be in awe at how easy. You might think, oh, well, I did this and I did that. And I added even some
I used at signs instead of A's.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all
I
know
added
that.
Some, you know, exclamation marks and all this other stuff.
Probably at the end, right? We all know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I added, a number in there, too. Yeah, so?
Yeah.
You put it in there, and it'll tell you, honestly, how long it'll take them to crack it. And you're going to be quite surprised.
Fast things can get cracked.
Yeah. And, well, it's, more than 8 characters. Yeah. Is it like 50?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people are surprised when I talk about dictionary attacks. If your password is a word in the dictionary.
Or contains
a word
in the dictionary. Yeah.
It's vulnerable. Because the bad guys will literally feed a dictionary into a password cracker. And if your password happens to be a word, it will pop up. So then people started doing, what was that one from Terminator? There is no fate but what we make.
Right.
That's a nice long password. Yeah, but it's a popular phrase. Yeah. So now we're going to feed in Roger's thesaurus and Bartlett's familiar quotes. We're going to feed all those into the password cracker.
Because it doesn't take, what folks don't realize, they well, all those words in a dictionary, for a computer, it can go through that in no time flat, folks. You get a powerful computer system, and they want to get into yours. They can put all that information in there and crack it within a day or less.
In fact, even typical off-the-shelf computers can do, 100 million guesses per second?
Right.
Some ridiculous number like that. And there's less than 100 million words in the dictionary.
And then there are rainbow tables.
Yep.
The algorithm that Microsoft uses to encrypt your password is well known to everybody. They have not changed it in 40 years. And so what the bad guys have done have made tables of every password encrypted. And you can get it on a CD. You can download it off the internet.
Yep.
So all you have to do is grab that table, do one lookup in the MySQL table, which takes 1/100,000th of a second, and you've got the password.
Yep.
The longest rainbow table I've seen was 17 characters, but I really stopped looking a number of years ago. So you really want a password in the high 20s or low 30s at least.
With the mix of letters and numbers and uppercase and lowercase and symbols, the larger your alphabet. If you're only using lowercase letters, there's only 26 possibilities.
And
math is easy to a computer. See, that's the tricky part. Math is easy to a computer. Facial recognition is hard to a computer.
Right.
It's completely opposite of real people.
But that's where a password program is, stupid not to use.
Right.
Because you've only got to remember the one main password to get into it, like NPass. Just the main one to get in there, and then it can create complex questions and, passwords for you. And it stores all the stuff so you don't have to remember all that. It's dumb not to.
Right. The only time I've ever hated this is when I was trying to type a password into my television.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Into the Roku. Down, 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 left, left,
up,
right,
over, up, over, back, over, down.
You accidentally discovered the Konami code.
Yeah, right. And that's only because I haven't yet plugged a keyboard into my television.
Before we go to the phones, we did have somebody text in here on our new text line at 585-205-8887. It says Microsoft Office. Microsoft says that it's not supporting Office 2010 after this November. What does that mean? It work or not? Any updates? No security support? Alternatives to MS Office?
Yes. And yes, Office, to everything you just said. Yeah. It is Office, no longer.
Office 2016 also.
Right. 2010 and 2016 are no longer supported. What they want you to do is get a subscription to Office 365.
$100 a year.
$100 a year. If you don't want to pay $100 and when it's not supported anymore, it'll of course keep working, but you won't get any updates. You certainly won't get any security updates. If something goes wrong, no one can help you anymore.
And one of the most common propagation targets of malware is malicious Word files.
Right.
You get a file that claims to be your HR benefits package, especially now that we're working at home and we're a little less vigil and we don't have corporate security around us. Mm-hmm. You open that Word file, the macro executes, and you're screwed.
And you're screwed. So one of the alternatives, probably the best alternative.
Free.
Because it's free and because it's amazing, is LibreOffice, L-I-B-R-E Office, at LibreOffice.org. And Steve's putting a link up on our website. It is absolutely free. It reads and writes its own format, but you can set it. But it will read and write Microsoft Office formats, and you can set it in the preferences for the Microsoft Office format to be the default.
Uh-huh.
So it'll always work. I've used LibreOffice for well over 25 years, And even while I was working and nobody knew I had it, everybody else was on office. Yeah. I was on LibreOffice. And I could exchange documents with everybody with no problem.
And that one you can even export out to PDF, which up till a while ago, Microsoft didn't even support that.
Right. Yep.
And for Apple users, there's also LibreOffice, but Apple's Office Suite, Pages, Keynote, and Numbers, comes free with every Apple device.
Right.
So you don't need Microsoft. A lot of people are used to it, so they use it.
Yeah, they think they have to because, well, you know, work is using Office, so they won't know the difference.
Yep. Now, Microsoft still has a one-time purchase, what do they call it, perpetual license. $150 gives you Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, so you don't have to pay the subscription fee. But that's still $150 you don't necessarily have to pay.
That's exactly right.
Using one of the free ones.
Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I wouldn't keep using Microsoft Office. If you want to pay $100 a year for Office 365, then please do so. Absolutely, but you don't have to. And we should now go to the phones and talk to Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
Hi, guys. I have a question, obviously, that I wouldn't be calling if I didn't.
Nobody calls just to send us.
You were talking about password managers, and we use RoboForm.
Sure.
Okay. It's a good password manager, but we have difficulties with it on a number of different occasions. One this week, my wife was trying to get into her DSW account on her phone. Using RoboForm.
Yeah.
There is a difference between using RoboForm on your phone or your Chromebook or your computer.
Yep.
So can you say something about those things? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, is she on an Android or a...
It's an Android phone.
Yeah.
Android.
It's requiring her actually... When she tries to use RoboForm to get into DSW, it's requiring her to put at least, to hand type in at least the first three digits of her email address.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
See, that's why I was on RoboForm myself, and Nick kind of nudged me towards NPass. And I have loved it. I've got it set up on my phone, my tablet, my three computers at home. And now I've got my wife on it, on her laptop.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
It's free, and, you know, it's a great product, and it remembers all my passwords, and I have it, you know, automatically back up to Google Drive, so everything is up there, so I don't have to worry about losing anything or anything else. But it was
Well, not only do you not lose it, but it means you have exactly the same database on every device.
Yep.
So if I add a password to my Chromebook, it's available on my phone.
Yep.
It's available on my desktop. It's available on my laptop.
And it works on all platforms.
I cannot stress enough that RoboForm is an excellent product, but isn't as excellent for my money as NPass.
And one of the problems a lot of the mobile password managers have on mobile devices is the sandboxing between apps. And which is a way to protect your data so that one app can't see the data from another app. Well, that's exactly what your password manager is trying to do, is pull the data out of itself and put it into your browser. So what I've seen, I'm not specifically familiar with RoboForm, but I've seen LastPass and I think 1Password have their own web browsers that you run in your mobile device, and then the password manager works properly because it's the same app.
Right.
So let me understand. Are you saying that in NPass that every manifestation of NPass is the same no matter what device you're on?
Yes.
Unlike RoboForm, which is on a Chromebook, is a form of RoboForm Lite.
Right. What you do is you basically back it up to one source. And what I did is, because I use Google, I put it up to my Google Drive. And I pointed it, you know, for the one email address, I pointed it up to my Google Drive on my email password, you know, address. And then all my other devices, when I installed it, I pointed it to that same, email address on Google Drive.
Yeah, so you're storing your password database
in one spot.
In one location, yeah.
And it does do autofill.
Yep.
So you can do that as well. Yeah, basically, the only difference between the between M-Pass on my desktop and M-Pass on my phone is that my phone has a biometric sensor for my finger so that I can log in with that on my phone. And, of course, I can't do that on my desktop. But other than that, they are identical. It is exactly the same program on every single platform, whether it's Chromebook or phone or desktop or laptop, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it's not in RoboForm.
You know, it isn't. But M-Pass, you learn it once and you know it.
It's been a problem.
Yeah, I bet.
So, okay, thanks, guys.
Yep.
And if you're lucky enough to stay in the Apple world... you can use Apple's Keychain, which is built into all devices, and your passwords will sync through your iCloud account to all your devices. And again, it can use the fingerprint reader or Face ID reader on your devices to authenticate, to fill in a password for you. In fact, Apple users are already using the Keychain, even if they don't realize it.
Right.
When you told your mail program to save your password for you, it went into the Keychain.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where all your passwords are stored.
And people don't know that. And even if they've heard it, they don't appreciate it.
Yep.
What it means is that you have access to all your passwords on all your Apple devices.
Yep. And it's always very frustrating for us when we're setting up a new computer and we ask them what your password is. Well, I don't have one. Yeah. Yes, you do. you told your computer to save it 10 years ago, but you have one. So... one of the things we sometimes do now is we say, oh, we can't be responsible for all your passwords anymore. We don't want to have to be storing everyone else's passwords.
No, of course not.
So you get to put all your passwords back in for you.
You don't want to be responsible for, because, you know, if you were a liability as far as a business, if you were to store everybody's passwords and everything else and that file got breached.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, all those passwords and everything else got it out. You know, you did up a whole file of, here's Mr. Smith. He lives at this address, and here's all his passwords for different accounts, and that got hacked?
You're right.
Whoa, that would be Pandora's box big time for a hacker. You know, I mean, you're opening up all kinds of bad thoughts.
Bad thoughts, yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Because they would have a field day with it. They'd be sitting there opening up charge cards and doing this and that and getting into different accounts. Oh, I don't know. That even sends shivers up my back thinking about that one.
Yeah, if you want to get the shivers up your back, go to Have I Been Pwned? 9.7 billion pwned accounts. And passwords and social security numbers and addresses in some cases. Everything a bad guy needs to steal your identity.
That's exactly right. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
You're on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Polka music with...
polka blues. It's the polka blues, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Brent from Irondequoit, New York on the line. What's up, Brent?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you guys for such a great show.
Thank you.
The question I have relates back to what you said at the beginning of the show about login on routers and password managers, all right?
Yep.
The question I want to ask is when you log into your router and you get the admin and admit and you get that, you don't want to change it if you have it and you go into another router that's a... and it has a secret password that goes in and it fills in on your password manager. Is that all right to do that?
If you've got two routers, you're saying?
No, I have one router, but it goes into it goes through my password manager, and it goes logs into a special, you know, a pretty good router, you know.
Okay. The big thing is, if that password is the default password, everybody on the internet knows it. So if they get to your router from outside, they will now be the manager of that router, and they can do anything.
And that is one of the vulnerabilities of many routers, is that WAN management is turned on. So from outside your house, you can manage your router.
They'd be yelling, party time!
So it doesn't matter if the password manager has saved admin as the password. That's still a bad password.
Yep.
So when you change it, your password manager should notice you're changing it and ask if you want to update the password you've put in.
Oh, that means go to the website that has the admin to change it, the admin on that, right?
Right.
Right. In the router screen somewhere, there'll be an administration panel and a change password panel.
Yeah, you can leave it, you know, the ID as admin, but the password is the key. You got to get that changed, you know, and make it complex. You don't want it the default.
Oh, when it goes into it, I have, you know, really good security on it.
It doesn't matter. You're still letting them in the front door.
Oh, well, it still fills it in really well with a password that I think is really long. And
so you have already changed your default password then?
No. In a way, it goes into my router, but when it comes off, yeah, it must be I did it. But I don't know how I did it. I had an IT specialist do it for me.
Oh, well, that's okay. As long as it's been changed, that's the important part.
Yeah. And hopefully they told you what they changed it to or asked you what you wanted to make it.
Yeah. So as long as you've got it changed, you should be okay.
Yeah. As long as it's not the default.
Half the time when I ask someone what they want their password to be, they say, I don't know, you make one up.
They look like deer in a headlight.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I always tell people, if I do it, it will be 64 characters.
And I will understand it. You won't.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you should be, if it's been changed, you should be fine.
Oh, IT did a good job on it. All right. Yep. Thank you very much.
There you go, Brent.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The other trick is the security questions that you're often asked. Write down, we're back to write it down in a book and then keep that book somewhere safe.
Or put it in the note field of NPass.
Yeah, yep. NPass will do all that. You can add, when you're logging in, one of the fields that you can add are the questions.
Yep, get your security questions and remember, lie.
Mm-hmm.
And lie big. Yep. So if they want your first dog's name, say chair.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the street you first lived on, table. You know, lie significantly. Don't just make up a different name. Don't say Elm Street instead of Maple Street.
No.
Say table instead of Elm Street.
Yeah. Nothing that is relative to that.
Right.
So if they ask you your favorite color, Ford.
Right.
You know,
and then
nothing
save that in your password manager.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, you know, NPass does all that. You can have it save as many of the security questions as you want. Some of them ask three or four.
Sure.
You know, and you can
save
just,
them all.
You can add the fields. And the thing of it is, though, if by chance, here's the other sticker, though. If by chance you folks, you know, go in there and change some of the questions, don't forget to periodically update it. With NPass, it'll say, hey, wait a minute, this is a change. Do you want me to save it? Say yes.
And most of the password managers will warn you if you use the same password on multiple sites, which is bad. And many of them are now using Troy Hunt's Have I Been Pwned API to check that list so that if your user account or password gets breached, you get warned then as well.
In addition, NPass has something called a password audit. So it will not only tell you if you've duplicated passwords, but also if they're too short and if they're in the, have you been pwned and et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of the things I really do. And as always, it's a free program, but throw the guy a few bucks. It's a good product.
I pay for it because I got it on multiple. But that's the other thing, though. You're going to find in some systems, maybe work or whatever, periodically they want, like for my business where I work, every 6 months, our password changes.
Right.
And we got to change it. So no big deal. When I go to pull up NPass and it goes to put it in, I just, backspace, put in my new one because I have NPass create one, pop it in there, and have it save it.
Right.
Don't have it remember the old one.
Yep.
It's one click, because mine literally opens up in the corner of my screen, and it says, oh, this is a different password. You want to save it? Say, yep. And boom, it does it. And then for the next 6 months, it'll remember that password going into, say, your banking or into work or wherever. And, you know, you're safe and the company, you know, won't get hacked either.
Steve Gibson had a story about that where he overheard someone at a coffee shop saying that he hates that policy at his office. And so he always makes his old password the same as the new password. And then the company said, well, you can't do that anymore. And so then it can't be any of the last six old passwords you used.
Right.
So he'll change it seven times in a row to make it the old password again.
Very nice. Very good.
Steve Gibson did have some interesting arguments about that every 6 months. The idea is that if a bad guy got your password, you want to change it. Well, if you change it every 6 months, what's to say he didn't get it 6 months minus a day ago?
Right.
Well, then you should change it every month. Well, he could have had it a month. Well, then every day. He could have had it this morning. Well, then every hour. And that's why the high security installations have those little dongles with the rotating digits on it.
Right.
And it changes every few seconds.
Right. Or 20 times a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We had a couple folks text in here. One says, it's NPASS. Yeah, that's what we're saying. ENPASS. They thought we were saying NPASS. Just NPASS. No, it's N.
ENPASS. NPASS.
Yeah.
I don't know how else you would pronounce it to make that clear.
Yeah.
But thank you.
NPASS is the Neonatal Pain Agitation Sedation Scale. NPASS.
Thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Google.
Yeah, it is NPASS. ENPASS.
It says, somebody else texted in, security question. Okay to say my favorite TV program is Soundbites?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Because we're radio.
And while we're on TV, if you have a YouTube account on your smart TV.
That's right. We are. You can see us. Hi there.
This is where we belong. We have faces for radio.
Boy, do we.
That's what I've always said.
Yeah. But definitely lie. Definitely make sure that when you're answering your security questions, you write down both the question and your lie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you're right. You're right. My mic is a little hot on YouTube. Sounds good on here.
I can turn it down a little bit, but then people complain it's too low.
Yeah.
you should just peak in the red. You should never stay in the red.
Right. My problem, and the problem I've always had, well, the problem the engineers have always had, is the fact that I trained for the stage. So I project to that 200th row.
Yeah, project to the back of the audience.
Right. I suppose I should use a radio voice.
This is the jazz station, you know.
That's right.
Well, this
hey, jazz coming at you.
I was listening to Derek the other day, and his radio voice is nothing like his real voice. And he's got a great real voice,
too. He does, too.
Well, that's the thing, though. And we tell folks, you know, pledge time. You know, Rob took this studio, which was meant just for playing music, and we are the only talk show all week long. The rest of them, you know, you might hear the DJ break in and, you know, announce, you know, what songs just played and what's coming up or do the traffic. They're short spurts. But not like us where we literally do two full hours of talking. And that's why, again, I'll mention it to anybody that's just coming around and listening. At the top of the hour, we said, please, if you got a question, call in early. Last couple of weeks, we've had folks call at 10 to 2, and we just can't get you in. So if you got a question in that, please, don't be shy. My philosophy has always been the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask.
Right.
And I've said that for decades. You know, we love to hear it. And
although I have a friend who says, every once in a while, I have a friend who says to me, can I ask you a stupid question? And I always answer yes, and history will bear me out.
Mm-hmm. Or I would sit there and say, you know, I've had folks, you know, sit there and say, can I ask a stupid question? And I usually turn to them and say, well, it's never stopped you before.
Right. Better than anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, please call early.
Yeah,
we want to take all your calls, but when, you know, we don't go right up to the hour. We quit a little early. That's the way radio works. And so if you call at 10 of, the likely, because what happens is the calls pile up at 10 of.
Yeah.
And we just are not going to get to all of them. I'm sorry. So please call early. And that'll be better for everybody. And somebody's calling in right now, which is great. What'll happen is, Dave will get your name and where you're calling from, and then he'll route you through the utterly baroque phone system here at the station.
Yep.
And we'll then take you on the air. So when you call, be ready to give your name and your town, and, we'll be able to go and talk to you, just like we're about to talk to Mike from Caledonia, New York. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Peachy, how are you?
Not too bad. I got a question about internet service.
Yeah.
Friend just told me about a company called NYSYS, which is, it runs by radio frequency. They put towers up, antennas up, and then send internet around. I was wondering if you knew anything about them.
Yeah, I do not know how they pronounce it, but I guess it's probably NYSYS.
Yeah.
It's NYSYS Air Access, and it's internet over the air. I know very little about it. I do know that they say they are encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it's not just, it is after all radio.
Right.
So pretty much anybody can get the signal, but it is encrypted. So the theory is it's not going to be readable by anybody.
Because it's radio, you have to have line of sight to one of their antenna.
Right. That is a bit of a problem.
Right. Well, I live in a farm area, and they're talking about putting an antenna on one of the silos right near me. So
that'd be great. Yeah.
That'd be perfect. Yeah. So I was just wondering if are there any downsides to using?
I don't know a lot about it. I'll be very honest with you. It's not something I've really needed.
The big thing is to see if they want a contract or not. So if you don't like them, you can switch back away if you need to.
Right.
I don't see that they require contracts. It doesn't give the pricing on their website. They want you to call.
I saw it says for residential it starts at $40 a month.
Yeah.
But it depends on your physical location and other things, I guess.
Yeah.
That would probably be true of the speed and the latency and everything else as well.
Right. I know some guys that aren't too far away from me have it, and they say the speed is really good.
Well, those are the people to listen to. If they've got good speed and they've got good uptime and everything else, the
reliability of it.
Yeah, and if it's reliable enough, then, yeah, absolutely go with it.
Okay.
Looks like their office is in East Rochester.
Right, yeah.
East Main in Rochester.
Yeah.
I'll give them a call on Monday and see what they say.
Yeah, give them a call. It certainly can't hurt, particularly if there's no contract. You can give them a try, and if they are not up to your standard, you can move away.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be better than Frontier, that's for sure.
DSL is crap. It's the slowest.
Remember when we all wanted DSL?
We're on a 56K modem, and then suddenly we get this 5 meg DSL. Oh, my goodness. That's so fast.
Really wanted that. Not so much anymore.
And now my 100 meg spectrum is slow, and I can't wait for the 500 meg green light to get to my house.
Well, there was just an article also about because they want to put throttle down the internet now again.
Because everyone has been stuck at home doing video conferencing, most of the ISPs have raised their speeds.
Right.
Now they want to slow it back down again, but everyone's used to the higher speeds.
They want to throttle it back,
Well, and a lot of the pundits are saying, well, that means we could have had these speeds all along. Why are you giving us slower to begin with?
True, yeah. Well,
that's because you can pay for higher.
And that's what they'll do. They'll just say, well, you want higher, then you're going to have to pay for it now.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Can I ask you one other quick question?
Sure.
I've got an HP laptop. I turn it on. It runs for a very short time. and then freezes. It doesn't always shut down. Sometimes the screen just goes blank. Sometimes the screen stays where I was, but it just freezes. And the only way to get it to off is I got to turn it off.
How's the fan on the bottom?
You know, I can hear the fan running, but it's blowing hot air.
Yeah.
And I took a can of air and sprayed it in there thinking, and I can hear the fan spinning when I spray it in the fan vent.
Mm-hmm.
But
is it spinning, though?
Sorry?
But is that actually spinning when, you know, granted you're pumping air in there, it's going to make it turn, but is it turning on its own?
Yeah, I can hear it, and I can feel air coming out.
Okay,
but it's hot air.
It's hot air. I'm wondering, could it be the CPU fan?
Well, it's one of a couple of things. Laptops don't generally have
CPU fans.
A lot of fans in them to begin with.
Right.
But it is possible that the heat sink. How old is this laptop?
Oh, wow. It's quite a number of years.
Okay, what happens is there's a paste. It's a thermal paste that holds a small, usually aluminum heat sink onto the chip. And that helps radiate the heat into the air, and then the fan pulls it out. Over time, that thermal paste can let go.
Right, right.
And if it has done so, then there is nothing that's drawing the air away from your chip.
Okay.
And it will definitely overheat and shut down.
Right, right. Now, is that something that's worth trying to get fixed?
If that is the problem, it's not a terribly expensive.
It depends on how hard your laptop is to take apart.
Yeah,
some of them are very hard.
Getting that in there, you literally got to break the whole machine down, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I went on the internet and looked on how to look at the fans to see if I could get in to clean the fans. And I mean, it's everything. The back comes off, the keyboard comes off, the screen.
Well, and the fan is the easy part to get to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's it then. Thank you very much for your help.
All righty.
All right.
Take care.
Before you go, there is a program, I think, called, I'm trying to look it up, Speed Fan, I think.
Speed Fan?
Or Real Temp. There's one called Real Temp. There's another called CPU Thermometer, and it will tell you how hot your CPU is.
But that doesn't do much good now because you need a baseline of what it's supposed to run at.
Right, and the computer doesn't stay on long enough for me to do it.
Right.
See, not my CPU. Let me show. One of my temps is at 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So four of my CPU cores are in the high 180s.
Right.
The Wi-Fi card's 150. Because I'm doing Wi-Fi video streaming,
so it's
surprising how hot things get in there. But once you know what your baseline temperature is, then if it is overheating, you can tell.
Now, is there a way to get into the BIOS? Would that tell me temperature at all?
Yeah.
So if I could go directly to the BIOS.
Yeah, if you get into the BIOS setup, usually there is usually the last screen over, you know, how you have different tabs, and it'll tell you the thermal heat of it.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that. I might stay on long enough for that.
There you go.
The way you do that is when you turn the computer on from off, not a reboot, but from off, when you turn the computer on, keep banging away at that escape key until the startup menu appears. Then press F10, and that opens the BIOS.
Oh, okay.
For you.
Okay. All right, great. I will try it. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, we had a couple more texts come in, and somebody, very good suggestion, says, please warn people when using a password program to make sure that your spouse or significant other can find it if you suddenly pass away. A friend of mine still can't access much of their family finances and photos because of they are in files behind a password. His files, phones, emails, accounts, and et cetera, all in the password manager, and she didn't know the password. So yes, definitely. Like I say, these password managers, all you have to leave around is the one main password to get into it.
There was one password manager, I forget which one it was, they had something called a dead man switch. So you could put your spouse in and they could request the master password. And then you would get an email saying, is it okay to give it to them? And if you didn't answer, then it did.
Nice.
So when you get a divorce and your wife asks for all your passwords, you can say no.
No. That's really a pretty clever idea.
All right, we've got one more we'll do just before we take a break. It says, hey, guys, I want to clone my C drive, which is a SATA, an SSD SATA 3. I want to clone it to an AM2 drive?
Probably M.2.
M.2. How do I get the system then to recognize the M.2 as the C drive?
So there's several things in there.
Yeah. Well,
you start with a cloning program like Clonezilla.
Yep.
Which you would then write to a flash drive. So then you boot that flash drive and tell it to clone one drive to the other drive. Then you have to go into your BIOS and tell it you want to boot from the M.2 drive and not the SSD drive. If you want to keep both the drives in there, or you can take the SSD out and then you tell it just to boot from the M.2 drive.
Yeah, you can just point it to a different one. Just like on most machines, we always tell folks, you're reloading Windows, you want it to first boot to the CD drive.
Although we are running into the interesting problems now with the TPM module, the Trusted Platform.
Right.
It will prevent you from changing your boot drive. So the bad guys can't come in and boot their drive and get to your data.
Right.
But when you want to change your boot drive, you can't do that either.
Right.
So you may have to turn that off first.
All right. That music tells me we've wasted an hour of our lives with this nonsense. But don't go away, because we're going to give you another chance to do exactly that same thing. We're going to take a slightly longer break, but then we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right, Soundbites with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbite. This is the truly great and truly grateful to you, because with your generous support, we can be member-supported. Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side. Take a bio break. I know I'm going to. And then we'll be right back.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That must mean you're listening to Soundbites.
Really?
Right here on Jazz 90.1. And we'll go right to the phones and talk to Scott from Rochester, New York. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Nick, and you other guys, good to talk to you today. I was taking your advice, and I never changed the password on my modem, so I thought I would take the time to do it. And so I went to, it's a Motorola modem, so I went to the number that you put in, the URL.
Right.
I found my modem there. I tried to change my password. Well, it had a box where you could, I think it was checked, and so when I was putting in my new password, I could see the characters that I was putting in. When I got done, I unchecked the box so that it would go back to the dots, and as soon as I did that, it refreshed the page, and the password was gone.
Yep.
So I did it again. I put a new password in. Then the second time I used my password management program with a different password. The same thing happened. And now I'm not connected to the internet. I've got a Chromebook, and it says bad password. That's the message I get from the Chromebook.
Did each time
from
did
the
you
Chromebook
want...
or from the router?
I'm sorry?
Are you getting that message from the Chromebook login or from the router login?
From the Chromebook login.
Well, that should have nothing to do with the router login.
Yeah.
Well, now the page that I was at, the 192.168, et cetera, is blank.
That would be the router login.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
You're on your Chromebook.
Right.
Down in the lower right corner, do you see the little icon for the internet, for the wireless?
Yeah.
Is it blank?
Yes, it's disconnected.
Okay. Then in that case, what you need to do is go down there.
Yeah.
Click on that, and you'll see, and that'll bring up that box with all kinds of stuff in it. One of the things will be the Wi-Fi signal.
Right.
And from there, you can pick your Wi-Fi system. It may have rebooted, and therefore you just lost it, but you can get it back again.
Well, okay. My system is right at the top. So I'm going to click on that, and when I do that, it shows a password in there, but I can't see it, and when I try to look to see it, it disappears. The password disappears.
You may have been changing your Wi-Fi password, not your admin password.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So now you have to remember what you changed it to and type it in there.
Right. Whatever that new password is you picked, that's the one you have to type in now.
I don't know if I saved it.
That's a problem.
You have to remember what you typed. If not, you'll have to reset your router back to factory defaults and start over again.
Right.
Why would the password disappear out of the Motorola site when I enter the new one in? Just by merely changing the ability to see the characters of the password, that's all I did was change it from being able to see the characters as I put them in so I knew that I was doing it correctly to just the dots instead of the characters.
Yeah, but once you collect, most systems that I've run into, when you tell it to show me the password, just leave it that way. Go ahead, type in the password. Once, you see the password in there, just sit there and say, okay. Don't uncheck hide the password, because once you put the password in and it, goes and puts it in, and the next time you go into it, by default goes to hide.
That show and hide option is another one of those settings that we're not sure we need anymore, because it's to stop people from looking over your shoulder and get your password. But more frequently than not, you type your password wrong yourself because you can't see what you're typing.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
But because of the way the website was designed, when you change that setting, it refreshes the website.
Yep, because it thinks that you changed your mind and you want to put in something different.
Oh. Well, maybe the second time I did it, maybe I didn't even uncheck the box, but I still had the same thing happen. Well, I guess that's besides the point now, but now what did you say I needed to do?
Do a factory reset.
You have to factory reset your modem, and that will go back to the default password. So then you can go back into it and change it back and reset everything up again the way you did originally when you first bought it.
Now, to reset it, those instructions would be on the Motorola website?
It would either be on the Motorola website, which I don't know how you're going to get to.
Yeah, exactly.
On another phone with cellular.
Or network. They would be on the manual that came with that modem.
It may also be on the Aris website, because the company Aris, ARRIS, bought all the Motorola modem properties, and now those modems are now Aris modems. But
often, it's if you look on the back, there's a reset button. They have you power it off.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to hold the button while you're powering it on. Sometimes you have to have it powered on and hold the button for 20 seconds. It depends based on the model.
Right.
There's a WPS reset button.
No, that's an entirely separate thing.
And never use WPS. It's extremely insecure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the only other thing on there is an on-off button.
It's often a paperclip hole with a hidden reset button inside.
Yeah, so you don't accidentally hit it.
Oh.
Right, okay. So you unbend a paperclip and stick the end in there.
Yeah, I don't see anything like that. This is an older modem. I don't know. It's probably at least 5 years old.
They've had reset button holes for 20 years. So
it should be in the manual if you just Google the model number of the modem.
Can't get to the internet.
He can't on his phone.
Yeah, if you use a phone with cellular service. Or find a friend.
Find a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Sorry.
Yeah, these things happen, I guess, huh?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Yep, sorry. You do have to be careful as to what you're changing, whether you're changing the Motorola router password itself or the password to let you into the internet.
Yeah.
There are multiple different types of passwords. You have to make sure you're changing the admin password, not the router, not the internet password, I guess.
And it's not a bad idea to write it down before you hit save.
Right.
If he was using a password manager, it should have saved the updated password there, but it sounds like it didn't, if it's still got the old password in it. So he might not have got far enough to where it says, do you want to update the saved password?
Right.
Unfortunately.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Judy from Webster, New York. Hiya, Judy. What's up?
Hi. Thank you guys for your program. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Is it true that Carbonite owns WebRoot?
Hadn't heard that.
No, nor had I.
Let's ask Google.
Yeah. I don't. Where did you hear this?
Yes.
Carbonite. Yes, they
Google
do.
Google says they do, yeah.
Oh, okay, because when I renewed my Carbonite, they asked me if I wanted WebRoot, and I already had WebRoot through somebody else, but for like five times the money.
In February of 2019, Carbonite bought WebRoot.
Yep. Interesting.
For $618 million. A steal at half the price.
$18.5 million.
Yeah. That $500,000 is nothing to throw around. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they do own it, so it was a legit question, I guess.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That's sure. all I needed to know.
Yeah. Well, that's all you get, Ben. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, sometimes when a company buys another company, the prices go up. Sometimes they go down. You never know. Sometimes they discontinue that other service and roll it into their own. So
right.
I don't know for sure, but it's possible that at some point the WebRoot brand will go away and it will become Carbonite WebRoot.
Right.
It looks like someone owns Carbonite too, because WebRoot now says they're an open text company. So that's the parent company of both of them.
Apparently so.
So let's Google open text.
While you do that, we'll go back to the phones and talk to Al from Rochester, New York. What's up, Al?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm sitting in a cool basement.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Hey, just going back to the earlier gentleman who may have lost his password to his router.
Right.
And I came in the middle of the conversation, so I apologize if I'm heading in the wrong direction. But two thoughts for you. One is, before he hits that reset button and wipes all his settings out of his router, that could put him in the situation of a router that all the lights go on, but it doesn't talk to his service at all. I mean, he's lost all his logins and everything.
Right.
So I wouldn't take that very lightly if he has any way of avoiding that.
No, I agree with you. But what we don't know, and neither does he, is whether he changed the admin password for the router, or, as we're all suspecting, he changed the login password.
The Wi-Fi password.
The Wi-Fi password.
Right.
And the problem is he doesn't seem to remember what he changed it to.
Sure.
I'm not sure he has any other choice at this point.
Well, I didn't hear him mention what password manager he was using, but LastPass keeps a history of your passwords.
Right. I do not believe he had any password manager.
And what we think may have happened is it didn't update it in the password manager, because when the password manager fills in the password for that website, it comes back and says it's wrong.
Right.
So the saved password is wrong.
Right, but you don't know whether the saved password is the first or second attempt.
Right. And he doesn't seem to remember what he wrote for either one.
Yeah, okay. I if someone said to me, wipe out your router and start over again, I'm like, okay, I'm down the creek without a paddle.
It's a sort of a sledgehammer type move, but if you don't know your Wi-Fi password and can't get it, theoretically, the router has Ethernet jacks on it, and so if he plugs in over Ethernet,
not on a Chromebook,
USB to Ethernet.
Now he's got to go out and buy that because he doesn't have that, I'm sure.
So, yeah, if you plug in over Ethernet, then you can get into the management console over an Ethernet port without needing the Wi-Fi password.
There's a good approach, and maybe call a friend who has a notebook with an Ethernet port.
There's an idea, too. Yeah.
So if he's still listening,
he could try those things first. We did mention call a friend, but we'll see.
Well, maybe he's got if he's got a Chromebook, maybe he's got an old laptop.
Right.
If he's got an old laptop, it doesn't have to be super fast. As long as it'll boot up and open up a web browser, he can hook it up to the internet, the router, and get into it that way.
Yeah. I like that approach a lot.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
I will say, speaking of plugging things in and not knowing where they go, I bought a Buffalo drive. For a NAS, a network attached storage.
Oh, yeah. I think they're called Bison now.
Bison.
Yeah, and they shipped it from Bison, New York. Unfortunately, I spent 3 days trying to set it up. Windows won't find it. The Windows software won't find it. The Mac software won't find it. The Android software won't find it. The iOS software won't find it. I can't find an IP address for it using ARP or NMAP, or the router doesn't see it. I've plugged
it
directly.
Even the ARP won't find it?
Nothing finds it.
Whoa.
So it's not well.
Yeah. Because we've sold the Buffalo NASs in the past.
You both said they were great devices, but this one, holy moly. I mean, I tried multiple cables, and I tried, like I said, directly into the router, into my switch. I tried two different crossover cables into my laptop just to see if it would show up as anything.
I did have an issue originally with my one Windows system. It would, and I was spent half a day trying to get it to recognize it. And I said, the heck with this. So I went upstairs to my ham shack and I tried logging into it. It found it.
I tried multiple computers in multiple places. I tried them,
but
wireless, wired. I tried.
Did you turn it off and back on again?
I knew there was more I could have done. I should have called you.
But no, mine. It turned out I had to go upstairs. But
get it through any of the machines I had.
It was my one version of Windows on that one stupid machine. That it wouldn't do it. I had to do a reinstall Windows on my one other machine downstairs, Windows 10, and then I found it. Finally, it was like
Windows 10. I tried Windows 10 in a virtual machine. I tried.
Everything for
3 days, and I finally thought, you know what? I've already got two off-site backups to begin with. I don't really need to spend any more time on this one.
It's unfortunate, but sometimes you do get a lemon.
Yep, that's what I got. Mm-hmm. And I am not angry at the company. I'm not upset. Stuff happens.
But that shouldn't be that hard. You know, you should
you really shouldn't.
You know, just plug them in, and they're there. Just like you do with any other USB drive or anything else. You plug it in, boom, Windows finds it.
I did an ARP sweep of my network. I did an NMAP sweep of my network. Neither one found...
And nothing.
Right, it didn't even pick up an IP address. It was not well. So, like I said, stuff happens. I'm not angry with the company. The lights were pretty, So I'm sure it's a lovely product, but it just, it didn't work for me. And then I came to my senses. I realized I don't need another NAS drive. I don't. I've got two offsite backups, two local backups.
I thought no one had enough backups.
I did.
I read an article about that.
There is. That is true. That is true. But I didn't need the hassle of another local backup.
Yeah.
I'll just buy another offsite backup and use that instead.
Yeah.
And don't think I won't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a shame, though, you had that much. Well, I know your experience. You know, like I say, I went through over a half a day trying to hook it up to my one, and finally I got so frustrated, I went upstairs, and I don't know why, I had the Orb do a search, and I looked again. Son of a gun. And I clicked on this.
The Orb, he couldn't find it?
The Orb found it upstairs, and I typed in the address, and bam, there it was, and I went setting it all up.
Sure, if I could have just had an address.
Yeah.
But the Orbi couldn't find it either. Yeah. I called them. I called the company, and they said, well, what seems to be wrong? And I went through my whole story, and by the time I got to, I couldn't find it with an ARB sweep. I couldn't find an NMAP sweep. The guy on the other end said, okay, hold on. You've clearly gone above and beyond here. here's your return number. We're done.
RMA.
Yeah, your RMA. We're done.
So they send you another one, or
no? I'm just.
I just realized
I don't need another NAS. I certainly am going to get another backup, but it's not going to be in my home. It's going to be out on the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I do honestly feel much safer with.
Well, like you say, I've got two offsites, and then I wound up getting the one NAS drive because I know. My server is on borrowed time.
No, and I get that. I absolutely get that.
And if it dies tomorrow, again, just like when my my one desktop died, it was like, okay, time to get another one. And I got another computer, and all I had to do was log into my Google account. Bam, everything was back. And I just had to install a couple programs and didn't lose any time.
What I'm toying with now, because it's a toy, is throwing a 3 or 4 terabyte drive on my Raspberry Pi 4.
Yeah. Oh, there you
and
go.
And using that as a NAS.
Yeah, no reason why you can't.
Right.
It just sits there. That's one thing I love about it. I got a Raspberry Pi down in this, the basement that runs this one program called All-Star, and it's got a radio hooked up to it. And the thing just runs 24/7. Other folks... hook up to it and call because it's literally connecting folks around the world through Echolink. And they go, do you turn it off at night or does it go up or down? No, I just leave it on. It's a Raspberry Pi. Oh, cool. Thank you.
So, right. If it dies, it's a $35 replacement.
It was fun to build.
Right.
And my friend, our friend Jim there was the one that walked me through getting everything set up on that. It was my first one. It was a lot of fun learning it.
And I will give you advice. Copy the micro SD card. So if you do have to replace it, just in case that goes, you got two already. Good for you.
Oh, because I've already had it, because we had power outages.
Yep.
Right now they're doing a lot of construction in on my street. Matter of fact, all of a sudden now I've got a telephone pole right near my driveway.
Hey, that's very exciting.
Yeah, they're moving all the power lines and that from one side of Empire to the other. Because now in their brilliant wisdom, they're making it instead of a 4-lane highway, it's going down to 2-lane with a center turn lane. Like we really need it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But yeah, all of a sudden now I got this telephone pole. Right there at the end of my trip. It's like, like to hang some other lines off of it.
We've got one at the driveway at our office, and it's annoying because you can't see around it until you creep out onto the shoulder, basically.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
And on, in the other direction, there's a blind hill. So on the left, you can't see because of the telephone pole. And on the right, you can't see because of the hill. So you're creeping and creeping and creeping and creeping. And no! Stop!
That happens at the end of my street. There's this whole section of don't park here on both sides.
Yep.
And there's always some
person.
Human.
Individual.
some human.
You're assuming they're human.
Right. Parked in those spots. And by the way,
they're only going in there for a second.
Yeah, right. Speaking of thunderstorms, pay attention. It's a good idea to turn your machines off and unplug them if you're in the midst of a thunderstorm. Don't forget.
There was a meme going around recently about that. When we were kids and you had to unplug everyone in the thunderstorm.
That's right.
The TV.
The TV.
The
right, there were
radio.
Only about three things you had unplugged. The radio, the television, and who knows what the third one was. But if you want to know if it's thundering in your area, lightningmaps.org. Lightningmaps.org. You can, it'll if you let it do your location with a little target icon. It'll show you where lightning is striking near you.
Have you seen some of the lightning pictures from the space station?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. There's lightning everywhere at any time. Yeah.
And much of it often doesn't even hit the ground. It just goes from cloud to cloud.
Yep.
But there's always lightning. And at any rate, you can see the you can see your area. You can zoom in and out and see how much of your area and where the lightning strikes.
I actually saw lightning one time up close.
Oh, yeah.
I was stationed in Parris Island, Marine Corps, and we had KP duty. And it was at one far end of the building. A thunderstorm came through. And they were telling us to go around and close the windows. And we were hearing this crack. And we just turned as the drill sergeant was saying that. At the far end, lightning came in this one window and went straight across the room and hit this other outlet and took everything out.
Sure.
Scared the out of us. And it's we didn't want to touch anything.
One time we had a dog who was generally a sweetheart, but he really wanted to fight every other dog in the neighborhood. So he would try to get out all the time. One time he got out during a thunderstorm, raced down the driveway as lightning hit the tree at the end of the driveway. He didn't even turn around. He just turned inside out and was back in the house. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 30 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Stosh from Webster, New York on the line. What's up, Stosh?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding Mac Minis. I actually purchased one. This might be dating myself here. Back in 2012. And it's still working, but it's kind of slow. I'm just curious, is it in any way possible to improve it or to make it so that it can work faster? Or is it just, you know, am I just looking at an outdated and... we'll just say prehistoric computer at this point.
Well, the 2012 model was the last model that could be upgraded easily for a while. You can replace the spinning hard drive with a solid-state drive. There's actually two drive bays, 2.5-inch drive bays. So you can put two SSDs in it. Mm-hmm. The original Mini had one optical drive and one hard drive. So that dates
right.
dates the Mac Mini itself.
Yeah, right.
And you can upgrade the RAM. I think it went to 16 gigs at that time. But you can't really replace the processor unless you're good at unsoldering micro solder.
And how much money does he really want to put into a machine that's already that old?
Yeah. In the 2014 model, they soldered everything down so you couldn't change it. But that does make it cheaper to manufacture. The current 2018 model, the RAM is technically replaceable, but it's a pain in the patookas to get to and replace it. So they made a big deal about they put the RAM back in sockets. But the sockets are underneath an EMI shield, which is on the motherboard, which is behind the power supply, which is in the chassis.
Nice.
Right.
Not easy to get to.
Yeah. So you can replace the hard drive with a solid state drive to make drive file loadings faster. You can add more RAM to make operations faster, but the actual processor itself you can't change.
Do you by any chance have like a website that I might be able to go to that might have more information about how to do that?
One of the big ones is Low End Mac.
Low End Mac. Okay.
Although the Mac Mini might be a little too new for the Low End Mac.
Okay.
Of course, you could also just put Linux on it and
let
it run fast. I mean, the reality is that you can't put the latest and greatest
software on it.
Mac
OS
on there anyway, right?
Yeah, you could.
Oh, really?
If you had an SSD and 16 gigs of RAM.
Right. Yeah.
It will still take OS 10.15.
Okay.
Well, I tried about half a year ago to update it to the High Sierra OS, and it just kind of like froze and crashed.
Linux would be your best bet. It's zero cost, and you can still get some darn good use out of the machine as it is.
Yeah, the original models came with 2 gigs of RAM, which isn't enough for High Sierra. If you upgraded it to 16, then that would work. The other company that does a lot is Mac Sales, and they actually sell upgrade kits and have instructions on how to do things. It's a little self-serving in their instructions. They assume you're going to buy the stuff from them, but it is it is possible.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good that there at least is an option still for this, because I still have another 2005 Mac Mini also sitting in front of me, and that thing basically is just a blue screen, and that's it. So that one just kind of already just went to the wayside. So
yeah,
I've got a PowerPC Mac Mini sitting around.
That the 2005 was PowerPC.
Yeah.
And I've toyed with putting a version of Linux.
They would Intel in 2006.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the information. You guys enjoy the great day and stay cool.
Thanks, Dash. Thank you too.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yep.
All right. We had a text message from Joel from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says, my iPhone 11 Pro regularly drops the Wi-Fi in my home. Strong setup for a 3-velocity node. Usually have to forget the network, reset the phone, and reconnect. Suggestions to make the connection more reliable.
Well, if by reset the phone, you mean erase and reinstall the software, because resetting the network is a setting, and then it forgets all your networks, which I have found accidentally annoying. Because it forgets every network I've ever connected to.
Ooh.
And that
pain
that's
in the butt.
Yeah. But resetting the phone back to its factory OS. If you're still having trouble after that, there may be an actual hardware problem. Sometimes in the antenna connection to the logic board. If it's dropping signal when you're that close to your router. All the iPhone 11s are still under warranty because they just came out last September. So you may want to bring it into a shop and
have them look at it.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe that easy. If it regularly drops Wi-Fi when you are, for example, walking around the house.
Yeah, she's saying 3 bars.
That could be switching from node to node.
Right.
See, it should drop it and pick it right up again.
Or I'm wondering if she's got dead. No, she's saying she gets 3 bars, but I know in my house, I can go from one area of the house to the other. And I can go from 3 bars down to 1 because, like your house, I've got that
chicken wire
in the walls, and it's like a Faraday cage. I can sit where what I call our computer room, And forget it. People, I lose signal all the time when I'm talking to folks. I have to get up and go into the kitchen where it's a newer section and don't have the chicken wire in the, you know, in the room.
Right.
So otherwise, it'll drop the call.
Right. So it depends on many more things than just I have a phone. It's too bad, but that's true. Okay, we're getting to that point in the show where if people start calling in, Dave has mentioned this several times today, but if people start calling in hot and heavy like they did the last couple of weeks, we're just not going to get to them. But I will read which one would be more interesting to read at this point. June was a cruel patching month with loads of bugs, lots of initial confusion, and a few belated fixes. Microsoft now has a fairly good handle on what's been going bump in the night. The most obvious problem with June patches was a conflict between Microsoft's latest version of Windows and Microsoft's latest version of Office. I mean Microsoft 365 Click to Run. If you installed patches as soon as they came out, Outlook wouldn't run. That bug got cleared up when Microsoft fixed Office a week later. We also saw a bunch of belated patches for printers that didn't work after installing the June Windows update. Microsoft still hasn't fixed the reboot race condition that leads to missing data, which isn't really missing at all. It's just relocated to a completely inscrutable location. But that problem is at least well understood now. It's just a pain. Just a reminder, anytime you update Windows, you should start with backups. Make a full system image backup before you install the latest patches. There is a non-zero chance that the patches, even the latest, greatest patches of patches of patches, could hose your machine. So it's best to have a backup that you can reinstall if your machine refuses to boot. This is in addition to the usual need for system restore points. You can find a list of good backup products at asknick.com/backup.php, which is, I believe, pinned to the top of the Soundbites page. If you haven't yet moved to Windows 10 version 1909, we do recommend that you do so. The bugs in version 1903 are largely replicated in 1909, so there's very little reason to hold off on making the switch. You're not going to get a lot of new ones, but you are going to keep the old ones, although admittedly there's almost nothing worthwhile and that's new in version 1909. If you see an offer to download and install the feature update to Windows 10 version 2004, ignore it with extreme prejudice. Why are you still running Windows? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
All right, we had another person, a friend of yours, Marty Z. He lives in Walworth. He says he's a 90.1 supporter and also a supporter of Nick's Ask Nick page.
That's what I like to hear.
It says, hi, guys. I have a Samsung SMT-900 tablet running Lineage version 14, Android 7. Is this a good candidate for a Chromebook SW, and how would I convert it?
Samsung SMT-900 tablet, did he say?
Yep, an SMT-900 tablet running Lineage. Lineage version 14, and then in brackets he's got Android 7. Is this a good candidate for Chromebook SW, or and how would I convert it?
Oh, this is the Galaxy Pro.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, it's a 32 gig. System. I'm what I'm looking for are the specs.
Uh-huh.
Because that'll tell me. Here we go. Okay. Blah blah blah. Blah blah blah. Okay. That really. Here we go. There we go. GSM Arena. That always has good set of specs. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's the Galaxy Tab Pro. It's a 12.2 inch. How much RAM does it have? It's running, yeah. If I would stick with what you've got. You certainly could. Cellular. I'm not seeing the amount of RAM. It's got an octa core. It's a It's an A15, Cortex A15, which is good. The Mali T628 MP6 is okay. Colors black and white. Come on.
Everything but what you want to know.
Everything. Oh, here we go. Memory. Oh, 32 gigs. 3 gigs. 32 gigs. Okay. Yeah, at least 32 gigs. You could certainly change that. Yeah, you could. I don't think it's cloud ready. Is that what he's talking about? Because if it's cloud ready, he should look on their website. They have a what it'll run on page, and you should pay attention to that.
He says 3 gig of RAM.
Yeah. It's a little low. I'd stick with what I got, frankly. I'd stick with what I've got at this point. You don't get to use the Android apps with Lineage, I don't think, but it should be otherwise pretty fine. Sorry, but I think that's what that should be. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Doug from Holly, New York. What's up, Doug?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a comment. You had a caller, Stash, about Mac Minis.
Yep.
Yeah. An excellent source I found for doing upgrades, repairs, that type of thing. I believe it's iFixit.
Yeah, that's another company. They sell a lot of tools and parts, and they're well known for their take-apart manuals.
Right, exactly. I've had a Mac Mini for about 8 years now. I think if he upgrades the RAM and puts a solid-state drive in there, he should be fine other than the OS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people are using their Mac Minis as a media server plugged into your TV and have all your movies and music on it. I forgot about them. Thank you.
Yeah,
and they do more than just Apple stuff too. They tear down phones and tablets from all manufacturers.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to do was maybe give them some direction and doing that. I've used them many times before.
Super. Thank you.
Perfect.
Very much.
Thanks.
No problem. You guys stay safe.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
They did a tear apart of the new Mac Pro. With the giant holes in it that looks even more like a cheese grater than the old model that we nicknamed cheese grater, and they actually grated cheese on it to see if it could live up to his name. But I doubt they were given one, so it was someone that Apple ceded the computer to do a review of, so I hope they cleaned it up pretty good. So if you buy a used Mac Pro and it has cheese in it, you know where it came from.
Right, right, right. He said, thank you, guys. We'll keep it as is.
Yeah, the Lineage, I always thought it was Lineage. I guess I don't know which it is. That is an Android distribution. It is an open-source Android distribution. And works pretty nicely on a bunch of devices. I just blanked on because I thought of it as a different name.
CRS.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that that Lineage would be better. I think it is an Android product, and so you should be able to, by putting it on that tablet, you should be able to run all the Android stuff, and it does run fine on a number of Galaxy products. So yeah, it's pretty good. LineageOS.org, LineageOS.org. And it's available for several devices, and it's really designed for them. So it lets you put essentially an open source version of Android. It's not really Google's Android,
yeah, Android
implementation.
Okay.
It's Android is an open source product. It's a spinoff.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So it's really designed for people who want to tinker and who like everything that Android does, except that it's tied to Google, and so you can use Lineage to untie it from Google. Getting it set up is not tremendously easy on many of those tablets, but it can be done. And once you do, you have a lot of open source apps that you can use, and theoretically it's actually more secure and less snoopy.
Yeah, getting it loaded into the tablet, that's always the challenge.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not like your regular desktops and all that. Right. They have the ports.
Yeah, tablets don't often have very many ports.
Yeah, that you can easily, you know, like a laptop or that you can quick, you know, reformat it if you mess something up. No, you got to go through a lot more.
Right. And you can brick it, so you want to be very careful. It's certainly doable. Many of them, depends on how you're doing it, many of them you just connect it with a USB cable and then run it.
It depends on your comfort level.
Right, right.
You know, as far as confidence in doing this type of stuff, you know, I wouldn't recommend it to somebody that's never done it before or have any experience in even, upgrading a laptop to another operating system. If you've not even done that, then I wouldn't recommend jumping right into a tablet and trying to do that as your first time.
Right,
that would definitely not be a good thing.
Right, there is a but you know what I like about it is that it does have a lot of community support. It's got a wiki and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Do a lot of homework before attempting.
Yeah, yeah. If it, you know, particularly these days when we're all sitting at home with nothing to do, it's kind of a fun project. But boy, once you get stuck in, you're stuck in hard.
Yeah, and that's, like you said, though, the other key thing, though, is we're home. You got plenty of time. Take the time to, you know, if there's half a dozen or whatever YouTube videos.
Yep.
And that I'm telling you how to do it. Because just don't watch one.
Yeah.
Watch many, because other folks might, you know, just because that one person happened to do it recently, there's others that you might pick up other tips and doing something.
Or it might show you from a different angle that makes it a lot easier.
Right.
Example that I had on my snowblower for my John Deere. I wound up popping the belt on it. It stretched out, and it happens. So I had to change it. So I watched three different videos. And the first two are saying, oh, you got to do this and that, and they're undoing these bolts. Finally, the third one that I went to, the guy goes, here's what you really can do. And he took it off and just set it up on end. He says, it's a little tight fit, but he says, all you got to do is wiggle it through there, and you can get it on. I thought, well, heck, that's a lot easier than taking off this motor and all these other connections. He goes, yeah, just get it underneath there, and it works.
Yep.
Perfect. And I did it. It literally did. The belt, the distance between the flywheel and the body of it had enough room that it was snug, but I got it through there on. Boom, I was done in half the time that it would have if I had done it the way the guy had said it.
And there have been a couple of things where I've gone through 10 or 15 YouTube videos before I found the one single piece of information I was really looking for.
Yep.
All right, that music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Thank you all for calling in earlier this week. That's my favorite part, and I'm sure Dave's as well. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We are done for another week. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue with your generous contributions to be member supported. Jazz 90.1. Listen, be good to each other. Enjoy yourselves, fool around a little with your computers, and we'll see you in just 166 hours.